Well, I think that what's terribly necessary is that you have to have spiritual teachers, and that's not always easy to obtain. You know, a man who leaves the rabbinate and goes in to teach is a scholar who's interested in teaching, whether it's Talmud, whether it's history. Jacob Marcus, one of the finest persons in the field of American Jewish history, he's told us, don't pay attention to your other members. You get the New York Times, and you get a good dictionary of Hebrew, and that's all you need in life. Mm-hmm. And he was an excellent teacher, excellent, but he needed something. And to begin with, there was a tremendous age difference in the student body, because now it's all graduate students, which makes sense. But here I was 18, 19 years old, and we had people in there with PhDs in classes together. So it was a bad mix to start with. And secondly, I would say that, again, the lack of spirituality, from the standpoint of the input in the human there, is very easy. I don't think it's greatly changed yet. And by the way, I've done some inquiry. This is true of Christian seminaries. This is true of other flying seminaries, because the people who go there, for example, to teach Jewish education, will only be educators. And sometimes in arts, they too lack that kind of thing. Now, I'm not trying to denigrate them, because they may have been very good teachers in their fields, but I think that somehow you had to have people there who had really been in congregations, who had been successful in congregations, and who had the pulse of American vision. But there are people there like this now, and I understand that's not a good deal.
Let's go back to San Antonio. Talk about some of your
challenges. I met Moshe Goldblum there, strangely enough, in a very strange way, because I smoked a great deal. I smoked pipes. But strangely enough, out of respect to my Zayid, I would never smoke on Shabbos. And maybe also it gave me the feeling that I had it under control. Because if you do not smoke on Shabbos, you ultimately will be able to be in charge. So I had a pipe. And we were at Set Saturday. It had a name, but each day was Set Saturday. There was a blank. Moshe Goldblum. When I came up to him years later, he was a chaplain at Sachs Field there in San Antonio at the time. So when I came up to him years later, when I came here, I remember you in your pipe. I never gotten a reform rabbi, who wouldn't smoke.
Those were the warriors.
I was 24. I was burying soldiers. You know, and this is why I got so aggravated. There was someone who called me and said, well, our rabbi is too young. And it's nonsense. I mean, you know, everyone's young, but that doesn't mean you don't have feelings and you don't have capacities to reach or not reach. It's not an age kind of situation. But you have to cross the barrier. And you have to cross the barrier. And yet a tremendously saddened. She could do no wrong because you were young. I've read some of the sermons I preached then. They were terrible because of the congregation. It was marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. Ridiculous. Terrible. But there was, whatever you did, you were young. So we had a wonderful relationship that a year and a half.
What kind of congregation was it? Was this mostly Native Texans?
Native Texans? Oh, yes, Native Texans. But, by the way, wonderful people, wonderful people. Some of them were ranchers, very considerable funds, and some of them big men in the city. And they opened their doors. Every Shabbos during the summer, they got reception for the soldiers, for everybody. These were gentle people. Some of them wear these boots and their big hats, but they were just still gentle people. Lovely. It was a courtship for you. At its 12, the rabbi. It was so ideal. It was.
You were a young married man at the time. And
oh my gosh, the first 13 days I never went through. I was never home. Reading. Terrible for me. She was still there, president of the congregation. Didn't want her to go home after this. Sent us to the hotel after this experience. And that kind of it was a good start. It was a good start because it was no passion. But it wasn't because it was too good. All right. So, but I brought into the rabbit, which is, I think, important to understand. It's a great feeling, again, and again, it's a great feeling of spirituality. I dreamed of somehow taking Reform Judaism, which was then far too intellectual, you see, and trying to give them, in Reform, the spirit that I found in my life. And I felt that at 13. My Reform rabbi, whom I loved, was a very spiritual person, was a fine, I wouldn't have classified him as strongly Jewish in the same way. He was a fine spiritual human being. But I think I went into the rabbinate almost in spite of him, not because of him. I mean, he believed in Christmas trees. You know, it was wonderful. No, by the way, these people were, don't sell them short. They established a place for the Jewish community, non-Jewish community. I mean, this generation, you know, the generation of that was talking 40 years ago. These people made a place in America for the Jews. They were the Rotarians, they were the citizens. They were absolutely martyrs. They changed the image of the Jew. But they spent most of their lives doing this. Which was, again, you've got to see this in time. Right? For that time, for that place, they were a critical part of Jewry and of Jewish development in America. So to put them down because they were too, they weren't spiritual enough, or they were X or they were Y, is again not completely fair. They were giants. You see, compared to the Christians, the Christians, they had learning, they had background, they had, they were brilliant speakers. They were really did a job. Whereas some of these other people who come out of doing, the seminaries of that kind were relatively provincial, except for Columbia, Yale, whatever it is. So that the average man, the average rabbi coming into a community of the size of Dayton, played a major role. And he was very, very. So what I loved about it was when I came to Dayton, see, we lived in Cincinnati, I went to school in Cincinnati, I come home every week, taught Sunday school. During the summer, I got to be a substitute for this rabbi. At the age of 19, I conducted a funeral, you know? So that I really got experience very young. And I married a girl, thank God, who was Ruthie was and still is a very down to earth I wanted to get married just before I got out. I think I decided I'd gone with somebody and the affair broke up. I dated 19 girls in 14 days. And then I met Ruth, and there was just no contrast. She was very natural. There was Ruth, the unsophisticated, just a lovely human being. She knows your thing. She'll validate it.
You and she in San Antonio, this first job in the cabinet, any really lasting impressions about, apart from wartime, your relationship to the Christian community, to the South?
We were so busy, so taken up together in the congregation. I was taking an absentia course from the school, writing a thesis from the school, plus being in the midst of the constant that had to take place at those particular times. I was busy, but my impression of that community was a very patriotic community, in which the Jewish people did their share for not only in the army, but in many other phases. And I ran across some strange liberal people, reformed Jews who were very much part of liberal movements in a very big, big sense, outstanding leaders on both sides, both the conservative, and the conservative Jewish community was just wonderful. When I left, I got a phone call. They said, "Rabbi, just so you eat kosher out, you don't have to keep kosher." They wanted me to return to them, to the kitchen. I said, "No." But it was again, because of this background, I could serve as a sort of buffer between Orthodox, Reform, Conservative. And you see, I majored in German at school so that I could read, not only read German well, but that I would then have Yiddish between the two things, it's understanding. Still a Gehachte Yiddish.
Yeah. Where did you go next? Anchor.
You don't want to go through that. Yeah. I went to different places.
What were the most memorable ones?
Well, I was in Gastown, in Wilmington, North Carolina, first, and went there because they had a beautiful beach, Wrightsville Beach, and we were ready to collapse at that beach. And we were there 11 months and 2 weeks. Why? I couldn't stand it, because they only wanted their rabbi to be the Rosarian. They didn't want any Jewish programs, they didn't want a Jewish study, they wanted to be left alone. They'd leave me alone, I should leave them alone. A lot of intermarried there, that takes a time to show very early for it. And so they just wanted to be, they were very happy with me, but I don't mean it. There was no battle, but it was not what I wanted to do. And after having come from San Antonio, Texas, it was a shock. And then we went to Gastonia, North Carolina, which was a small congregation of like 100 families. And he was a congregation, Orthodox, Reformed, Conservative.
When was the congregation?
I'd say 46. I love that. It was very enjoyable. Lots of the people there were in the Coney Island business. You know, they were very big and very influential. It was very nice and peaceful too. And I probably would have stayed there longer, but I got a call from Martha Lutherfeld, who was then Director of Hillel Foundation. So here I am then, with a little baby, off to Berkeley, California. You know, I had written on my app when I graduated school, I would be interested someday in going to Hillel. And that was on the file. And I believe I'll move me from school yet. So he called down and says, well, that was the largest one of the largest soil foundations in the country at that particular time. Oh, that was the time of McCarthy. That was the time of your main students used to come there from San Francisco, culturally reformed people. That was the time when the Israelis were coming over. They asked me, I went to them, and I told them, first of all, we hadn't seen the rabbis out of fear, playing ping pong. I was a great ping pong player then. And they were lovely. They were so lovely. The kids would have, for the boys would cook the meal for us. It was just it was great, great interval of time.
This was the late 40s?
Yes, late 40s. And,
You mentioned McCarthyism. Do you have any impressions of the kind of pressures that produced on the campus among Jewish people?
Sure, a lot of our kids were interested in an anti-McCarthy stand, and they were taking file on everyone who was liberal at all. And I had a good cousin who was very active in the cause, and she came in to use a mimeograph machine. I had to do some quandary lecture. It was a very funny period. And I tried to get our students to boycott at that time, to join the boycott against the university, because professors were being forced to sign a loyalty oath. And they were for their careers. And very logically so, because years later, one of our girls who used to sing for us, the foundation burned down the minute we got there. We spent a year as guests of the Unitarian Church on the campus, which was very, very enjoyable. And I had to go raise funds to build the building, and work with committees. So it was also very interesting. But years later, one of the girls who sang to earn $5 at a rally of the students got listed on their files and was blackballed when she went to teach at New York. And she had the right to me for reference, and I had to testify. I had to record the fact that she went there to earn money, not because her purpose was in the paper scene. And they had it on the file. And people think it was a lot of baloney. It was there, and it was justifiably, we were justifiably afraid.
Those are very valuable memories, Rabbi. Do you have some others that you want to share about?
Oh, yes. Person? Yes, yes. The Israeli students, I came up to them to have a Seder. I said, I'll be glad, our women will cook for you and so forth. What Haggadah do you want? I said, we will write our own Haggadah. So they drew up a Haggadah, a mimeograph, as I was saying. Mimeograph the Haggadah, in which the name of God was not mentioned once. This was their Independence Day. This had nothing to do with God. Moses was a good general, that's all. And I want to tell you something, the delegate, their representatives in Los Angeles came up, and he took off his tie, his jacket, played the piano, the accordion, and they danced and they sang, and it was the most wonderful Labor Day kind of Seder. What? So they didn't believe in God. They were Jews. Now I think helped me understand very much that you can be a Jew, that you can't identify to Jewish Judaism solely with religion. That there are Judaism, that's why it's unique. It's a many faceted thing, of which ideally religion assumes a major role. But if it isn't there, that doesn't mean that we can't. That's why it's different than a religious group. We can't deny them the right to be part of our people. So it was a very good learning experience in much of that.
Your encounters with students there, how do they compare or contrast with your feelings about the students you see now, college students, particularly Jewish college students?
Yeah, college students. Many of the students now are really working their way through school. There isn't that. Certainly on the Duquesne campus, there was no time for college. My kids were really working on people that I tried. Many of them, by the way, who were married, you know, and were there simply to get some background. Theological course. They had to take one course for 15 years. But I it's a different, totally different ball. But it depends. I imagine if you would go teach at Ohio State or something like that, maybe in a wholly different experience. But these are people who go like commuting, many of them, and I haven't seen. There's a much greater shift. You know, I used to go up to Ohio State to celebrate, you know, get away from the rabbinate, you know, that was a little too much for me at one time. So I used to go there, and that was the whole shit, the whole different world. So I don't know if the campus is like that. I just don't know. I haven't been to this kind of thing. But I know my daughters went to, you know, to school, and it was a much more serious thing. In a different way.
As compared to those Berkeley?
You see, Berkeley campus, you must remember, was basically occupied by people from the San Francisco area. Wealthy, fraternity, sorority, that whole thing was very popular in its day. And I had been used to it from Ohio State going there. So I didn't wait for them to come to Hillel. I'd go there on weeknight, have seminars, make them come and conduct one a year at the Hillel Foundation. I really worked. And there was some positive response. But in the long run, I was very much afraid. I can't not feel like it. I don't mean to. What I had felt then was, if this is a caliber student we are getting, you can't suddenly give them a shot of beauty in the foreground. For me, this was not what I wanted as a career in the rabbit. And so I left Hillel after putting up a beautiful building. I had that experience with two things. I did that with the Hillel building, I did it with the camp. I got all done with it and I left. I dedicated it to that. I went then to Stockton. A whole different variety of places, you know, and different moods and different everything.
Tell us about the Jewish community in Stockton. This was when? Can you place it in time?
Well, I think pretty surely my daughter was, about 3-4 years old. My older daughter, she's now 37. That would be 33 years ago. 85, 52, 30, 50. I stayed in Stockton for 6 years. And that was an interesting whole different community. Gosh, it was almost a combination of their chief industry was asparagus, you know, so it was peat dust, and it was Filipinos coming in to chop it. And slavery, labor, and it was, all of our people were merchants in one form or another, and yet they had a college of Pacific that I got to teach at. And that was very exciting. And it was a combination of many of the authors. There were two congregations there, and a joint community center of some sort, meeting at certain places, but there was a, again, I was there and very, very happy there. But my mother died while I was there. And we felt very bad going back and forth as youngsters every summer. And finally, my dad had a heart attack. He determined that we had to go back near him. And I said, no, I don't. So then we left, and we went to Michigan. Well, again, we had, that was lovely, that was a very interesting avenue. This was a General Motors town. Every one of these places are such, they're such a different flavor. Maybe someday I'll work on a book to try to tell the different people. Really, it's unbelievable. But yeah, there were friendships we could have there. Really solid days. We're older than these were not our, these are now our peers. That makes a difference. When you're going to school to talk about your children and to work with your children and that kind of thing, you share things in common much more than you do at the institute. You share these. It's very common. However, when my daughter was about in study, I didn't want her to go through high school with being such a small minority of the Jewish friends.
Approximately how large was the Jewish community?
I would say there was about 700 families. Good cross section of people, a lot of doctors. First time I had a lot of doctors very active in the Federation. Very, very active. Very wonderful people. But at that time I wanted to, now again, I didn't take any action. I got a call from a friend of mine, Jay Kaufman, who was executive vice president with the union before he went to the new president. And he said, Joe, come on. We're going to set up a new region in the southeast. Florida, Alabama, Georgia, 5.5 states. We're going to put them all together. Again, I didn't think I wasn't ready for change. And this came along, Florida. And my father had moved to Florida. So he could be with me. 2 months after the day. But we went down there. And exciting. Florida. Well, I had to Florida. I had to go to camp in Georgia. Raise the money. Oh, this was also at a different... this is my...
Last minute to that
effect. Yeah. All right.
You, let's start again. Your title at that time?
Director of Southeast Region. I had headquarters in Miami, but I had to travel through the Southeast and visit every congregation and do what you're supposed to do. I think we'll have to find it. I really think
this material is so wonderful. It's so much may we get together with you again.
Yeah, we'll schedule.